I would like to see more parents normalizing adventure and movement and, you know, bring your kids with you on those adventure, on these and occasion to move, but also make sure you take time for you to prioritize those things in your life.
Welcome to the Prosperous and Happy Life podcast, where we help you with the planning and financial resources it takes to live your best life. I'm your guide on this journey, Mary Hagerman, portfolio manager and financial planner with Raymond James in Montreal. In this episode, let's dream a bit and let our inner child run loose. Imagine what an endless summer might look like. Sun, sand, swimming, and surfing? Why not? Today, I'm chatting with Erica Drolet, co-founder of Salty Souls, coach, and now recently, author of the new book called Surf. For the past 10 years, Erica and her Salty Souls team have created unique personal development experiences around the world that include surf, skateboarding, and yoga. So let's dive right into this. Erica, welcome to the Prosperous and Happy Life podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I feel happier already just talking to someone who seems to be living the dream. So tell us a bit about how you became a world traveler, co-founder of Salty Souls, and now a surf queen with a book.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thanks to my parents, I've had a really early exposure to travel. My parents are big travelers themselves. Even my grandma was an incredible traveler. So yeah, from an early age, they took us on a lot of trips. Even on my 60th birthday, like my mom offered me to go travel anywhere in the world. And so I can get early exposure to, you know, the world that exists outside of our big country. And I've seen them as well go on a lot of trips with or without us. And so I think that, like, they are for sure the ones who gave us the key, you know, the traveling key, like, hey, go see outside. And I think once you step outside of the bubble early on, then the world becomes your oyster, you know? You're like, wow, okay, there's a world out there and it can be my playground. And so travel a lot for fun, but also for school. I went studying design in Florence, in Italy, when I was in university. So that was really cool. I ended up in a fully Italian university. I had to learn Italian as I was doing it. It was an awesome experience. And eventually I launched pretty early on my first company, which was a jewelry company. And I was 21 or 22 at the time. And did that for a while. It was pretty cool. Like, we got exposure at the Montreal Fashion Week and in a lot of different magazines. And as a young woman, it was awesome to be in such a creative field. But I didn't feel entirely fulfilled by this experience. I think that I was still so curious about the world and I needed to go, like, I just felt like I needed to go take a very long walk. So I ended up selling my company pretty young at 24. And bought a one-way ticket to the other side of the world, to Indonesia. And there was this desire there to kind of like empty my backpack from everything I've learned through my environment, to my cultural, you know, upbringing, all of this, and decide what was really mine and what I wanted to put back in my own little backpack and keep traveling with in life in general. Through this adventure, I connected with Marie-Christine, which became my business partner on this new venture, but I knew her from Montreal, actually. She's also from Quebec, and we used to work in a restaurant together. And together, we started talking about creating the kind of experience that we wish we would encounter. So I was already really deep into the world of yoga. While I was in Indonesia, I did a lot of trainings there, really got immersed in the magic of this practice, and also being able to practice in the outdoors was very rich and powerful as an experience. And she was really into the world of surfing. So together we thought there must be other young women who want to experience more out of life. They are curious, they're thirsty, and they don't necessarily have someone to travel with. So what about we create this space for them to come and have an active vacation and an occasion to grow and get out of their normal routine? Because I want to say that the girls that come to our experience are not only in their 20s. Like, we have women until 65 years old that come to the trip, and a lot of them are mothers, and there's really all age, and they're thirsty for something else, you know.
There's a big sort of leap from Florence, Italy to Indonesia. It's a totally different environment.
Universe.
I'm sure when you were in Indonesia, you had a lot of pizza to work off.
Yeah, when I was in Italy, yeah, I'm obviously like fast forwarding the story a little bit, but there was a lot of little travels in weaved into this. And which each of them, I think, taught me more about different experiences and different alternative learnings, I would say, from, you know, after the after school. And so Salty was born from a desire to create an experience where women will feel empowered through movement, travel, and connection. And then through this process, I really, really fell in love with the ocean as well. Even if I'm from the suburbs of Montreal, which, you know, the closest ocean is about 5-hour drive. So it was quite unlikely in the course of event that I would fall in love and mainly build a business around surfing, around the ocean. But it happened. And then this lifestyle really charmed me.
So just remind us then, how old were you when you started Salty Souls?
Yeah, 2015, I was 25 at the time.
Okay, perfect age. And a perfect age to fall in love with surfing. So you're going to tell us more about that as we discuss some of the content of your book and what surfing is actually like as a sport. So you recently wrote a book on surfing in French. How did that come about?
Yeah, so always had a big passion for writing and sharing reflections through storytelling. I very early on had a blog and would write about on very different medium. And I think that having chosen a little bit of an unconventional career path and life path, I felt compelled to share my stories, share my reflections and my views on the world. And so the seed of wanting to write a book was there since a long time. And then actually I came back to Quebec at some point, and the opportunity to publish with a French Canadian publisher kind of came to me, to be honest. It was offered to me kind of on a silver platter. And I think that what the publisher saw in me is the fact that after 10 years of running a surf travel agency, of taking women of all age out in the ocean and helping them explore movement in new ways, clearly add a few insights to share. And on one side, it felt like, wow, unlikely to me that it was happening. And now in retrospect, when I'm looking back, I think it made a lot of sense in my career that after 10 years of leading a travel agency, I got offered the opportunity to write a surf travel guide. So I'm like, oh yeah, of course, now it makes sense. And I think the book offered me the opportunity to bridge two worlds. So the one of surfing and the one of self-discovery, and offering something that is, you know, easily accessible. And I also believe that the publishing house was delighted by the fact that I was a woman writing about sports, especially a sport that is male dominated.
Exactly. So I wanted to bring that up. It is a very male dominated sport. So I find it's great that you were chosen to write this book. I must say, these last Olympics that included surfing really got me excited about the sport. Breakdancing too, I must say. I thought both of them were super additions to the Olympic program. But so we know a bit more about surfing now, but is it mostly a man's sport, or have you helped democratize that a bit?
There is a growing popularity. I think that any high adrenaline slash extreme sport are playing catch up in terms of ratio male to female. I have a lot to say about that, but I'll keep it short saying that I think this is culturally learned and it is not in it. Like, we are, simply put, women or young girls are not as encouraged to push their physical limits. So a lot of sports are popular with women, but when it comes to high adrenaline, the message that we grow up with is that it might not be for us. And now I think that those barriers are slowly falling. The rise of women's sports in general is, on the upswing. However, there's still a lot of inequality in terms of cash prize, spots on competition, exposure, et cetera, et cetera. I actually read recently only 4% of media coverage is onto women's sports. So 96% for male sports. It's shocking as a statistic in nowadays. But yeah, so now, like, a lot of actually in surfing competition, since a few years, they have equal prize money, price. Equal price, in competition. So that was a big thing. However, we still have a different number of spots on competition for male and female. In the lineup, you'll find a ratio of about t 30 guys for one girl. So it's still very male dominated, but I feel that Salty Souls and other companies, a lot of initiative are creating safe and supportive environment for women to step in their power, to step in the water, to try those sports that used to be associated more to guy and to used to mainly be seen as non-feminine. So that's another subject.
Yeah. I'm sure we could say a lot about that. But you mentioned earlier that you are very influenced by your parents, who are big travelers, who got you and your brother out and about. I know your mom. She is a substantial woman, very athletic. What advice would you give to women to help them inspire their daughters to be perhaps more aggressive, to be out there, to go for the big win in the big sports?
I'm glad you're asking because I think that mothers have a big impact on their daughters. And we obviously mimic or get inspired by what we see in our parents. They're always going to be our first inspiration and example. I would like to see more parents normalizing adventure and movement and, bring your kids with you on those adventure, on these and occasion to move, but also make sure you take time for you to prioritize those things in your life. I've seen my parents, go do their sports all my life. And so I was like, oh, this is how we live life. Like, we do things in family, but we also have time to go do our sports. And we take my dad is a big runner, right? And he competed through my entire youth. And he would take me on some of his races, and we would travel for sports for different events. And so I've really been exposed to, like, this is absolutely normal for sports to be at the center of one's universe. They also threw me in absolutely all the sports I had tried. So I grew up with a big brother, so I got really influenced by whatever he was doing. I wanted to try, and I think this is still the message for mother to daughters, or even that father to daughter. I'm thankful that they never made me feel like I was weaker or more fragile because I was a girl. I don't ever remember feeling like there was less possibilities in terms of sports for me because I was a girl. So whatever my brother was doing, I was trying, and whatever I wanted to do. So I did a lot of sports that were, like, not for girls 30 years ago. And also, my brother was like, okay, Rick, go in the hockey net. I'm gonna throw some balls at you. And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't realize that, like, girls don't go in the nets against their brother that is 2 years older. So I think that it's like making sure that in your message and in the way you encourage them to do sports, you never unconsciously ingrain a message that it's not possible. In fact, like, let them try, let them fail, let them risk, let them scratch their knees. We'll be fine. We're not that fragile, you know. We're really able to bounce back and try. And I think that young girls are really ballsy. Like, they want to take on challenges. They want to drop into the skateball. Let's go. But we need someone that help them believe that it is as accessible to them that it is to their male counterpart.
Well, as someone who's done karate for almost 30 years, I can say for sure, I know what it's like to be a female in a male-dominated sport and to have people questioning me over the entire period. Really? You do karate? You don't look like somebody who does karate.
Yeah.
As if there's a look that goes with it. But anyway, so obviously there's great health benefits to being active the way you are. But tell us a bit more about this question of movement that comes up a lot when you're describing surfing, and tell us how movement, sunlight, and surf gives you energy. And you've also said, too, it helps you shake off the blues.
Yeah, I think that nature in general is medicine. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of embracing time in the outdoors. The ocean, or for me, any body of water will reset my nervous system almost instantly. And I'm pretty sure there's like a chemical reaction that happens when the human body goes into water. And so that's really a place for me to, like, and if you don't have access to a body of water, you go in the shower and you're like, okay, like, that's good. But access to nature and obviously the sun really fuels energy. And, you know, when we feel it a lot, let's say we're in Quebec and we have lower exposure to sunlight, daylight, it's really hard on the level of energy and on the mood. So surf as a therapy, or, you know, time in nature is what will naturally benefit your health. But I think that, yeah, for regulating your emotion, and even, you know, in a world now that we are more static than ever, a lot of time spent on the computer, sitting in our car, whatsoever, I can never emphasize enough. And I feel like everybody knows, and yet we don't say it enough, the importance of movement. And by movement, you don't need to go hike the Mount Everest on next weekend, but take time every day to take a walk. Might it be 15 minutes in between your meetings? Might it be taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator? Like, be creative in the way you embrace movement, and make sure to shake it off as often as you can. And it will really, really optimize the quality of your living, but the quality of your mood. And just like a 30-minute walk outside can literally change your entire day. So I'm a big fan of that.
So we got to give a shout out to our podcast producer, Nick Sarancic, because he takes a 30-minute walk every day at lunch. And on the weekends, he explores Montreal walking and vlogging. So he is a real, you know, a really good example of somebody who's diligent about getting out and getting the fresh air. So you do all these things, even though you're running an agency to help women travel. You snowboard, so it's not just summer sports. You skateboard, swim, bike. Has surfing become your favorite sport? Because I kind of got the impression from your book that it was.
Well, yes and no. As I said, and as you mentioned, like, I have a love for movement in all forms. But I think that surfing has something a little extra. I prefer high adrenaline sports. For the feeling of great aliveness it gives me. But what I love about surfing especially is the connection to nature, and the fact that our playground is literally unpredictable and also not in our control. And the principle of surfing is basically trying to find a flow state with nature. And that for me is very special. And there's something really magical in that connection. And I think that surfing as a sport is beautiful, but also the lifestyle it comes with. Most surfers will value experience over physical possession. In the culture of surfing in general, we seek to have the less impact on nature and really get in sync with it. And a lot of people are choosing a life that is more minimalist in order to experience surfing in areas that are uncrowded, for example. And I think that I really relate to this lifestyle more than just the sport, and the fact that it's a form of expression more than an act of performance. Because at the end of a great wave and well-ridden wave, you don't get kudos on Strava, and you don't get and much really besides a feeling of aliveness and a big smile on your face and a memory. That's all you get. So it's really just it's selfish and selfless at the same time as a sport. And it's very humbling because the ocean always is the master.
Well, listen, I have to tell my own little surf story, because for many years doing yoga in combination with karate, the big yogis were often surfers. And I was really curious when they talked about the link between the flow state and yoga and the flow state and surfing. I thought, I got to try it. I got to try it. So I actually convinced my husband to come with me on a surf vacation. And I mean, I just thought it was so cool. You just jump on a board and you can almost hear the Beach Boys playing. And, you know, you think, hey, I am so cool, right? But then try to surf a wave, that was challenging. The small waves, it was good. But I actually liked your illustrations in the book of how to get the board out into the water past the waves, because I found that was part of the most challenging aspect of it. And when I came back from that trip, I tried surfing here in the river on the Vagagi and a couple of things like that, took my daughter, and we thought it was just so much fun. It was just so unique. A lot of people would poo whoever getting their face wet in the St. Lawrence River, but I must say river surfing does have its attributes. But you show so many beautiful pictures in your book, and I got the impression, because I do follow you on Instagram too, love your Instagram post, by the way, love your writing. You took a super trip to the Philippines. So was that possibly your best ever surf destination?
Good question. I think I have a lot of favorite surf destination. And in the book, besides Canada, that is one of the big chapter, because Canada offer a lot of great surfing, actually, from coast to coast and even inland. So after that, we speak about 7 different international destinations: El Salvador, Ecuador, Philippines, Morocco, France, Indonesia, and Nicaragua. And I've surfed in all of them, besides France, actually. And they got a place in the book because I love them all. And for me, they are some of the most accessible and inviting destinations to explore. Philippines was magical. I think it's one of those destinations that is like a pinch me destination. White sand, crystal blue water, very friendly locals. Every surf spot you go on a little boat to access them. Wow, it's there's really a lot of moments that you can't believe your eyes, and you wish you'll never get over the fact that the water is so transparent. But El Salvador is also one of my favorite places on earth. I've been calling this place home for the last 10 years. It's one of the places that the waves are incredibly consistent, and it's pretty accessible from Canada, so I always feel not too far from my family. And I think there's a lot of beautiful destination. Indonesia is known as the Mecca of surfing. It's the place that every surfer in the world dreams of exploring and returning over and over and over again. So yeah, I think the planet Earth is actually really impressive and beautiful to explore through a sport.
Yeah, oh no, I totally agree. And you came out with a message in your book that I thought was particularly touching, where you tell people to, you encourage people to, as you say in French, voyager en solo, so to travel by themselves. And as someone who is a practicing meditator and who loves to be in silence, I just thought that was such an interesting bit of advice for people. So tell us why you suggest that people try traveling alone.
Traveling alone is awesome and should never be feared. I think that it allows a level of freedom, the freedom to choose and to go at your own rhythm, to listen to your instinct, really get somewhere, and you don't need to go to the end of the world to experience that. It can be for a weekend, you know, and you can stay within the country, but really going somewhere where you're just gonna flow with your own desires and where you want to go. You don't need to make any compromises. And also, when you travel by yourself, I don't think it's a lonely experience. In fact, it will allow you to connect with people in a very different way. When you travel with someone, you already have your unit, and in that matter, you don't need so much to connect with people because you have your person and you know. But when you're by yourself, you're forced to open up and to shake hands and to ask people like, "May I sit with you and share this meal?" And really, that's when the most beautiful connections happen. And I think that it at any age, but especially when you're young and in a quest for identity, it really helps self-discovery. And helps anyone at any level to develop more independence as well, which is a very useful skill in life in general, to be able to own yourself and take decisions only based on what you want without being too influenced or influenced at all by the judgment or the pressure of your environment.
Well, that's super well said. And of course, some people are forced by, the nature of things, to consider traveling alone as they get older because they end up being alone. So I think it's great to have that encouragement to open up your horizons by traveling by yourself. I traveled for the first time to Europe at 18 by myself. And it was like an incredible trip. I met so many people. I can imagine myself traveling now by myself and it being very different, but also very enriching. But I would kind of like to cook up a trip for mature women with activities that would help us all feel like girls, something with sun, sand, and the sea. And maybe we could sit on a surfboard and wiggle our toes. Do you think you could cook that up for us?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's really something powerful about ocean therapy. And doesn't have to be extreme to be healing. And anything that will, a week or a getaway that would mix movement, relaxation, and connection, I think that could be very special. And yeah, weaving things around water as a healing space. So just floating on a surfboard can be transformative and can be uplifting for sure.
I'm sure. I'm sure. And you don't even need to have a tape of the Beach Boys because you'll hear it just
Yeah.
in your mind. So I think this is a good time for you to kind of sum up everything and give us a call to action for ladies and men out there, both young and old, who can benefit from the message of your book. What would you like to say?
I think I'd like to invite everybody to dare get out of their comfort zone and to dare experience nature in new ways. And the fact that the limitation that you put are mainly in your own mind, and I don't think they are justified. Might it be your gender? Might it be your age? As I said at the beginning, I have women that came to Salty Souls at 65 years old, and she did absolutely all of the surfing lessons. And 5 years before, she went to Thailand to do a Muay Thai camp for 30 days at 60. And for me, she was an absolute legend, and she still is, and showed us and keeps on showing the world that age is only a number. And in fact, we can be still very young at 60. And it's a matter of daring to experience, to get out there, to connect with the outdoors, and to rejoice in the beauty of Earth in general.
Wow. Well, that's a great message. And I'm sure you've inspired a lot of people to get out there, whether it be to the seaside, to a mountaintop, but to get out in nature and discover and feel the healing properties of movement and nature. So I never let my podcast guests go away without asking one final question. And here it is for you, Erica Dole. What does prosperous and happy mean to you?
So I know that prosperous in theory is associated to be successful in terms of material terms, or like flourishing financially. But for me, it rhymes with abundance, and abundance can take very different forms. So in that way, for me, it would be to be rich in freedom, and to be able to live on your own terms, to have space to create, to invent, and to be rich in quality time and connection to nature, to others, to myself. And above all, I think that joy or being happy is a process, and it's not something that you eventually get there. I hope that everyone can, like, for me, it's the question of making our own definition of success and really finding ways on a daily basis to find little pockets of joy and really embrace the fact of being alive.
I love it. And I love the use of the word abundance, because it's true. We all have a different definition. And what is prosperity for some can be different for others. So listen, I want to say thanks again for being on the show. It was so much fun to get you out of the water and onto the air to talk about all the cool things you're doing. And good luck with your book. It's great. And you've inspired me to go back to the Vagagi this summer. So we'll be including in the show notes how people can find you on Instagram, how they can find your book. And we'll have some free copies for a few lucky people. So thanks again, Erica. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Erica Drolet. Please make sure to subscribe to the Prosperous and Happy Life podcast on Spotify and share it with friends. You can follow Erica on social media and buy her new book, Surf. Just check out our show notes. And if you're looking for expert guidance on your path to prosperity and happiness, then reach out to our team. Everything you need is in the show notes and on our website, www.maryhagerman.ca. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. The links are also in the show notes. So, wishing you all prosperity and happiness. See you next time.
This podcast has been prepared by and expressed the opinions of Mary Hagerman, and not necessarily the opinions of Raymond James Limited. Statistics, data, and other information presented are from sources RJL believes to be reliable, but their accuracy cannot be guaranteed. This podcast is for information purposes only and is not to be construed as an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchases of securities. Investors considering any investment should consult with their investment advisor to ensure that it is suitable for the investor's circumstances and risk tolerances before making any investment decisions. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Information provided in this podcast is general in nature and should not be construed as providing legal, accounting, and/or tax advice. Should viewers have any specific questions and/or issues in these areas, please consult your legal, tax, and/or accounting advisor. RJL is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund.